This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
And I thought I saw a body.
I thought I was about to watch you get, like, slashed. Whatever it takes, whatever it takes.
Hello and welcome to Your Mom's Podcast, the only podcast worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Avis.
I'm Caroline, and we are your Degrassi rewatch besties.
And today we're talking about Degrassi Season 6, Episode 16, Love My Way. Roses are red, Paige plays a dangerous game, and Emma has zero fucking shame. Now that Paige has burned her life down, in more ways than one, she's itching to let her hair down and live a little. And what better way to quench one's thirst for life than sleeping with two of the most milquetoast men the aughts had to offer? No, seriously. Over in the B-plot, Snake is weird about Emma wanting to have sex, so she gets even weirder and makes a presentation about it for media immersion.
That's a thing that happens in this episode. I know I did all my lines right.
You did. Before we get into free talk, I do want to say, go ahead and subscribe to the Patreon for the unedited if you want to hear the After Dark Roses Are Red poem, because this part is only for the subscribers. Was
Dear, rated R.
And we can bring it back in.
All right.
If you missed that, all you got to do is go on over to Patreon and give us as few as $2.
As few as $2. And you can also hear the first 7 minutes of this recording or so.
Avis forgot how people greet each other.
Specifically, I needed to listen to a recording of how I once greeted this show. And that was a moment that happened. And you can be the proud receiver of hours and hours and hours of that kind of content. We have our unedited early release, and we also have our pre-show, which is Patreon only, and we have a bunch of other beautiful things. We just released a Patreon only coverage of the Degrassi minis. We split those.
There's
up
all sorts of stuff you could be getting.
We
there.
Did that. We've got special shout outs from cast members on there.
It's a sexy place to be.
It is sexy. It's not just content. We've got cute little things in there. So yeah, head on down. But I mean, I guess speaking of sexy things in a weird way, this is the B plot that we're about to talk about, because
I hate this B-plot with every fiber of my fucking being.
I just feel like I always forget that Emma is able to pull off a presentation with this high production value in spite.
But it's such a bad presentation.
But it's a bad presentation only because it would not actually stand against any rubric.
Does Snake actually grade against a rubric, or is that a thing anymore?
Right. No, did you, have were there sources you were supposed to cite?
Yeah, because it's like, I mean, the topics are clearly all over the place, and it is media immersion. It's not like it's where like the content itself has to be super researched, but like, what were the parameters? Were you told to pick anything that should have to include? It's bad, but like, also, what was Liberty's? It, like, all of the topics seem to be really like controversial, and it's like, I just wonder. Liberty's ended with her talking about we're gonna like eventually all fucking die, right? Like,
because probably of, I don't know,
like, so, like, yeah, something like that.
Much like the Degrassi writers, apparently this week I could not be bothered to pay attention to Liberty.
She literally gets 10 seconds of airtime, and Caroline said, that's too much. And no, I think that it wasn't clear what the actual goal was other than to use media.
Which, I mean, technology. But also, yeah, these are seniors. They've been doing media immersion, like a free-form presentation that doesn't need to be backed by any sort of research.
Mm-hmm.
Feels very grade 9.
Well, it has to fit the purpose of the narrative, Caroline. It can't just
be... And the narrative is that Emma is a sexual being.
She's so distracted by the fact that she's about to be deflowered.
Can we please never use that phrase ever again?
It's the worst phrase that's ever been used.
I hate it.
And I actually appreciate that this episode does not use that. They just use every word but until Emma has to go off with her presentation and use sex like 6 times. It's like, oh, I can't be bothered to remember that I have an assignment due. And it's because I'm Emma. I know the assignment already. I just haven't done it because I'm so distracted by all the details I have to get together because I'm about to have sex.
Had she not done her assignment yet?
She had not done hers. She literally says, I haven't even started it. Because Snake is like, okay next class, say, I could also... it's going to be Liberty and Emma.
I could also see Emma 100% being that bitch who decides to just throw out the project she's worked weeks on.
That would totally be on brand for her, but no, she's so caught up in the potential.
I didn't care about this episode and how long it's been since I watched it at this point.
Oh no, this is fresh in me dome, unfortunately. I watched it. Like, I really here's the problem with me, and I think here's the problem with us. We tend to treat this very seriously, and I don't know that other people treat it as seriously as we do, because it's literally a rewatch podcast about readily available content that you could watch yourself. You don't need us to like, recap. Right. But, like, should this like, be fresh in your brain?
Why are you guys here?
we're talking you out of
you all don't
of
have it. Pluto.
You don't have YouTube, YouTube Unlimited, whatever the fuck they call it, premium. Because that's how I watch Degrassi. No ads.
You it's can watch it YouTube. Free with ads on Tubi, like on
and
demand.
You can also pay for ads with your time. You can pay for the content with your time via ads.
Or you can watch it on HBO. Like, you've got options. Why are you listening to us talk about it every week? That's weird.
That is weird. Get. Do something else. No.
No, thank you guys so much for being here.
We love you. We're really, something's wrong with, I think, both of us this week. But all of this to say, I just think that we take this very seriously. And we tend to want to be accurate with the shit we say. We tend to want to be, like, thoughtful. And I mean, we're just those bitches. So we are all of those things naturally. But it also takes quite a lot of effort sometimes to do.
Yeah.
To yeah. be so on
and
shit.
This week has been a week
because like
and sometimes... it's only Monday.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts, but not just any gifts, real gifts, thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The RealReal. The RealReal is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The RealReal. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
It's been a really long Monday. I will fucking say that. It's been a long ass Monday. But it feels like if we don't try hard, why are we recording? Like, why are we putting it on mic if we're not actually bringing an effort?
Is this you scolding me because I didn't rewatch the episode?
No, dude, this is me saying that we take this shit very seriously.
We take this more seriously than Linda Skylar takes it, I feel like.
The amount of times that we've called this woman out on our podcast and she doesn't, I think she has secret spies. Not secret spies, people who love her and who might tell her that she is being like categorically slandered on our show via the choices that it's that a she shock made.
That we haven't made merch yet that says Linda Skylar stand before Sip us and answer for answer these for crimes. Crimes.
Yeah.
Why is
that a conversation
sticker?
Starter. That's a conversation starter if there ever was one.
On it. I'm on it. Okay, but yeah, so this B plot is highly inappropriate. And it's like very much like Snake's not right. But he's not wrong. It's not unreasonable for him to want to know what's going on in his house. Like,
it's not. I also think the way that he goes about it in the phrasing is very weird. It's like, isn't it a group decision when
whether or not Emma has sex is nobody's decision, really, but Emma's.
Sex is not a group. Like, we're not. What Spike said, can we talk about Spike's demeanor? She seems so far away. She seems like one of the ladies from Arsenic and Old Lace that's just like half about to like on death's door. She's like, huh.
She's on she hasn't control, slept huh. in in 2 years, 3 years, however many years, because baby Jack has croup and colic and cradle cap and every that other lady, ailment starting with a C that a child can have.
That lady looks
cholera
tired. And she hardly reacts when Snake tells her that her baby girl has gone on the birth control and is about to have the sex. She is just like, can't even
kudos
be safe.
Kudos to Emma and Sean for using the pill and condoms.
Yeah, she was like, stay strapped. You stay ready. You don't gotta get ready, bitch. She's like, Manny, you thought I was joking? Pregnancy ain't gonna
she's
catch
like,
me slipping, bitch. I don't even know what that
she's
static
like, Emma,
was. But
listen to me. Getting pregnant with you is the worst thing that ever happened to me in my whole life.
Lord.
Don't repeat my mistakes.
She probably has said that exact thing. Cause
There's like a
knows-
whole episode. Well, it's not that exactly, but when she gets
she
knocked up by Snake, she's like,
right.
I can't believe I
she's
made
like,
this
I
mistake
can't,
again.
Right, I made this mistake. Not like, you ruined my life, bitch, and then like throat punched her, is basically what I heard you say. no, it's very much like, yeah, this was a mistake. Don't do that. Yeah, don't do it. Find ways to not do what I did. And so I love that Manny's like, you're not messing around, sister. Because it's like, this is a fortress. This is a fortress. This is not going to be, there will be no flag planted on this earth.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is good because Emma does not need to be having babies.
Shout out to Durex for sponsoring.
Yep.
This video.
I love Sean being episode. Like, these have sensual in the name. Is this a good thing? Is that a good thing?
All right. Like, Sean's so happy.
Sean is the guy who gets ribbed for her pleasure.
Oh, that's, again, very on brand. It's like, you could almost believe the cheesy things he says because his eyes are all moony for her.
Honestly, I feel like we should all be so lucky to have lost our, like, heterosexual virginity to Sean Cameron.
Heterosexual virginity, indeed.
Better than losing it to Craig. We've seen that play out twice, and neither time was it good. He wrecked Manny's womb, and then he wrecked Ashley's dad's wedding.
Oh. Both long-lasting damage. Yeah, it's a very weird B-plot because I just want Emma to sit down and stop yelling about how she's going to have sex. Like, we get it. I think that we can all agree that it might have been a little bit of an overreaction to make the presentation clearly. This is a conversation you corner him in the kitchen and you have. Clearly, you tried to talk to him at skill in the schoolhouse while he's trying to get ready for his class that he teaches at the schoolhouse. He's about to be accused of pedophilia soon, okay? He doesn't need this. He doesn't need you to be yelling about teenage sex in his media immersion class. Shut up and sit down, Emma. And he's stressed out. He's knee deep in some bullshit. Here she go. Can't read the motherfucking room. This is an at-home conversation, Emma. This is an at-home conversation.
She gives no fucks.
Evidently. Ever-fucking-dently. And it's like she takes that. The fact that she does not know when there's a conversation that should be had at home and a conversation that you have at school. A home conversation. What size tampons do you need? Like, not to say period care can't be discussed everywhere, but perhaps he'd be more comfortable discussing the needs of the laundry of the shopping list at home, because that's a home conversation.
The discussing it in his classroom, I can forgive even.
Well, but maybe that, if it wasn't such a charged
that
topic.
Presentation. Well, and when he's like, I don't want to have this conversation right now, she should have dropped it
because she is the queen of boundaries, blah, blah, blah. Actually, she's the queen of stomping on boundaries. When people tell her don't do something, she pushes forth. She just felt it on her spirit to have to reveal that Spike was carrying a demon in her womb. And if she didn't, you know, lady's choice, who knows what would have happened.
Right? No, Emma still just has no boundaries. And it's just like, but it like those photos of her and Sean are so awkward and uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Sean just loves that girl, and he'd just be along for whatever the fuck she'd be wanting.
Right? He would have lied to Radich about seeing somebody steal school equipment. No questions asked. Chris Sharp said, Emma, I have qualms about this. Sean would have been like, yeah, who are we lying about?
Yeah, Sean's like, what? You want me to do something for you? I gotcha. Yeah, it's weird. The tone of them is weird. The fact that she duct taped herself the fuck up in one of those pictures. Duct tape hurts. Even when you just cut it off, you still have to pull it off of you. So she just duct taped herself. A duct tape was way more important, like a way bigger fixture in our lives at that time, obviously.
Right. That could have been used to make a purse or a wallet or a prom dress. And she's just wasting.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on.
Whether it's a surprisingly affordable pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, "I found it on The Real Real." Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
It on her face.
That's so much duct tape. Her face and her hands. She has some on her hands.
Choices were made. I would not have made them all around. And as a technically stepdaughter who was guilty of this once or twice in my youth, the way that she weaponized the word stepdaughter hurt me deep in my soul.
Yeah, that's one of the things she does that I really don't care for, because I think it hurts Snake more than she can really conceptualize. Because like he said, he's known her since she came out of her mother. Like,
no, I think there's a degree to which that's done with the intention of hurting Snake.
It is, but I don't think she understands how deeply it hurt him.
Yeah,
because that's fair. Thinks that he's trying to be like, oh, much like, oh, I deserve a say in your life, whereas he's just
I'm the king of the castle.
Right. He's more like saying, like, I feel like I've raised you and that I've earned a spot in your life and I've earned a say to talk about things that happened to you.
And he's not wrong that, like, Emma has been through so much in the last 2 years. It's not unreasonable for him to like, I don't think that when you lose your virginity is necessarily a sit down conversation you need to have with your parents ahead of time. I think ideally you've got a decent enough line of communication with your parents, but like, Emma's not just some kid, right? Like, she's a kid who had a gun pointed at her, then watched someone die, then got gonorrhea in her throat, then fucking had an eating disorder, then had an incarcerated boyfriend, then had a friend die at her house. Like, that's six things.
It's a lot of things in relatively short time span since season 4 or whatever.
She's 17. 2 years of her life, 3 years of her life. And it's like a short time, but it's a like, yeah, no. And like, yes, we should be talking. We should be sitting around the table regularly checking in with Emma.
Yes, and the fact that she tries, and she's in a good place, her and Sean are in a good place, but I definitely think that, like you said, she's been going through some shit. She's had a lot of things that most people don't, like, one or two of those people don't deal with in a lifetime.
And she just tried to have sex with Sean a month ago and had to get hammer drunk to do it.
Right, which is more kind of, you have to wonder what her motivations are. And she doesn't really talk about that. The only thing that comes up is Manny saying, oh, well, you've actually told me this before. And I think her brain, if I'm thinking with her brain, it's like, okay, well, if I get the condom and if I get the birth control, then it's almost risk-free, right? Like, then I just have to, like, I don't know that she is considering the fact that even when you have sex with someone that you deeply care about, there are feelings that come up that you don't really realize until you are in it and past it. Because sex is such a vulnerable thing. And it's not just about, okay, I love Sean, but maybe you think about what happened with JT. Maybe you think about, like, the feeling of not feeling safe and the feeling of being critical of yourself because you're naked. And there are so many things that could come up during sex that have nothing to do with being in love.
I feel like in life as a whole, but, like, especially the younger you are, nothing that you do is, like, solely about that thing. nothing that you're feeling is solely about like the catalyst reason that you're feeling it right now. Like, and you add in that, like, yeah, the last time you almost had sex, your friend got stabbed to death outside of your house. Mm-hmm. And so now you're going through with it. That's going to be a thing. You're also seeking that closeness probably because of this loss you've just had. And it's Sean, and there's all of that fucking history and trauma. And you're probably thinking about the last time someone died in close proximity to you. Yeah. Possibly at Sean's hands. It's right. A lot. It's a lot. A Emma's been through a lot. Yeah. And Miss Sauvay can't handle it all.
She cannot. No, there's a lot. And I think that she just is trying to make it like it's just about sex and it's not. And it's an expression of love. And it's, I think if you think about the timeline and things that Emma thinks she's supposed to do and is kind of trying to assure herself, like, it's okay to have sex. Like, this is a normal thing, blah, blah, blah. I think she more just would like some normalcy. She would like for things to feel like they're not still blood soaked and, you know, like there's not still a crime scene. Obviously, they've wrapped up the investigation at this point, but she will always feel like what happened outside of her right. house and those things. She walks by that every day. And I think she's just trying to have some normalcy. Her and Sean are very much like huddled up. It's very cute. But like, I think that there's something to be said about the last time she tried to do it and what trying to do it so quickly, you know, since might mean. Like, it's only been a month.
Yeah, it just,
and she's obviously, and it feels like it's been a long time, low-key, and I just think because of the A plot and we have what happens with Paige, but like it just feels like there has been a significant amount of time where it just hasn't, and maybe it's supposed to feel like that because we're supposed to be like, this is the brain of a teenager, I want this show to be that thoughtful, but it just probably isn't that. It could just be that, like,
that's why it only focuses on one big problem a week.
Yeah. They're like, we just give us the week.
Okay? Yeah, no, it just, like, the way Snake goes about it is weird. It's giving, like, purity dad bullshit. Mm-hmm. Which I don't super care for. But, like, mm-hmm. ultimately, yes, this family should be talking a lot about the things that Emma is doing and feeling and thinking. And like, we can't just trust the 17-year-old to know that this is largely like, yes, this is a milestone. I don't think it's unreasonable. I don't know how to put it exactly, but like 17-year-olds have sex. Mm-hmm. And would it be great if they waited? Yes. And I don't think that it's at the same time, like, exactly, like, developmentally inappropriate. Like,
no, it's not. I mean, it's,
like, they've.
I agree that when she says that you know I'm a what? Sexual of, being.
Exactly. Like, part of she her motivation.
Is a sexual being.
Is that she's fucking horny.
She's horny. She wants to have sex. And that's perfectly, like, that's why our bodies are biologically driven. Our bodies tell us when it's time for things. When you are hungry, when, you know, like, when you have to go to the bathroom, mm-hmm. when you are turned on, typically it's because you, like, there's an evolutionary reason why you get more turned on a specific time of month. It's usually because you're ovulating.
And like,
but I think that time might be like amped up when you're younger. Like, I think you're just, your hormones are surging. Thankfully my brain, my little caveman part of my brain that existed during that time has closed up shop. But I do remember how it felt to like have no impulse control vaguely because things are just a lot more calm in my brain now. Like, I don't have the urge to like fucking implode.
or explode as much anymore. I'm a lot more measured and I'm like reasonable. So I can understand why she is kind of fighting the impulse and trying to be responsible about it. Like, she's taking the steps, but it's like partially fueled by, yes, this is a biological, she is trying to, she's horny, but it's also, I think, normalcy. She wants to do something she's supposed to be doing. Her and Sean, this would be the most natural, not natural, but the most logical choice. If she were to think about who she loved in high school, it was Sean.
I'm sure that the blowjob bracelet games down at the ravine are a factor. Like, there's so many things at play here. I don't, we have no reason to believe that Emma is in therapy. I mean, I guess, like, hopefully her parents got her some therapy after she almost died twice. Literally,
Spike needs all the fucking therapy and she's received nada. So I doubt, I mean,
y'all have universal health care. What are we doing here?
I hope that they get that lady some fucking help, because she looks like she's 2 seconds away from burning the fucking house down like Ellie's mom. Anyway, I do want to just say before, and then I'm done on this B plot, that I don't think that either Snake, I think that Snake and Emma are two sides of the same coin. I think that they both ultimately are very caring in the same ways. And that he's just wanting to be a part of her life. And I think that's something that she has fought him on tooth and nail since they've, like, since her mom actually started dating him, was being a significant part of her life. And he has just, like, thinks he's in the club, but he's actually standing outside of the club, just under an awning. And that's clear. And she makes him aware of his place in the peasant's row whenever she gets ready. But I think this episode does kind of mark a turn in her not doing that as much to him?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that from this point forth, which you would think, like, she's got to have waves to her acceptance of this man. You would think back then when Jack was born and she was like, yeah, our dad, I think he looks like our dad. No, you would think that cute moment, that was a real, like, was it a breakthrough? Sure. But it was one of, like, 3 breakthroughs that Emma needed to have. And I think this is the last big one. Because, like, once, you know, you've inserted yourself into the sex talk, what else really is there as a dad? Inserting yourself where you don't really belong. I'll be honest.
Right. And it's like, I understand why you think you have a right to be there.
Yeah, I was not upset that my dad did not include himself in any part of the birds and the bees conversation.
See, and I was glad that my dad did, but that was just like, I sought my dad out to have those conversations because my dad was the parent that I could trust to, like, I don't know, to, like, my dad was the Spike there. Not that my mom was the Snake exactly, but, like, I remember my mom, like, reading my diary and finding out about me fooling around with boys and, like, just making comments about it and, like, making it uncomfortable and, like... Whereas my dad was like, let's have frank conversations about the fact that, like, this is a big thing in a lot of ways. You know, how can I enable you to make smart choices about it?
Yeah. I would like to add that if you guys send Miss Amy any hate mail, I will fuck you up. She has had, like, 30 years of plot development.
Growth. Yeah.
Of growth. So, don't get fucked up, all right?
Yeah.
But, no, yes.
You leave me. Plus, she's in the hospital right now. You guys, stop being mean to my mom.
I just know there are some people that are like, well, fuck Caroline's mom then, and I'm here to tell you no.
No, and I get that, and, like, but...
But you don't know that lady. You don't know that lady.
Both of our moms didn't do their best.
Fuck you up.
Or didn't do what we needed at different points in our lives, right?
We were saying two different things. Yes.
But two things are true, right? We deserved better, and they were doing the best they could with the tools they had.
And two things that are also true. They are both healed women, and they will both also fuck you up.
Well, if you bother Miss Amy right now, probably Miss Bev will fuck you up.
She's going like, to fuck you up double time, because you don't you're talking like double shit. And this lady can't fight back right now. But when she can...
Yeah, she's on a lot of Dilaudid right now. Oh, love that journey
really,
for her.
Yeah, I was going to say that's probably really good for her right now. But
she introduced Forrest as my son last night, though, to one of her nurses. She was like, Linda, this is my daughter Caroline and her son Forrest.
I'm sorry, I heard that in your mom's voice. And
I'm sure you did.
Fucking beautiful.
Well, oh, and gosh. My mom's voice, but make it high on Dilaudid.
Oh, no. Lord. Oh, these ladies.
I feel like you and Miss Bev are going to have to, like, come a little further up this way sometime. We'll do a cute little Vermonty retreat.
My mom likes it up there. She's already been to Wyoming. She's got to hit all the very whitest states that she can.
She's just taking those get out risks wherever she can find them.
I think that we both have to like be secure in the knowledge that if you were infiltrated by the enemy, we would know. And if I didn't, Caroline, I must tell you, y'all are tall. And if I did have to, like, take you out, I'm going for the legs. I'm going to try to That's sweep so you real. Under. I'm no, just going to try to drop kick you, and then I got to go. I got to take my mama, and I got to run.
At the Fo and I went and saw Josh Johnson last night, and he opened by talking about how fucking white Vermont is. He's like, it's really white here. He's like, you know, it's fine, but like, it's like everywhere you look, there's another one.
Oh my gosh.
And like, yes.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say that I felt ultra black in Salem because there were black people. I didn't see too many of them, but there were people of color. Not the same thing. You know, you would like to see your own. I saw some people, but you know what? You would like to see your own. Here's how I measure the success of a metropolitan area. If there are black people not houseless. Sorry. That's dead ass.
Are there allowed to be like some black people houseless on the street?
Certainly. There are, yes, but they're not allowed.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts, but not just any gifts, real gifts, thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
There's got to be black people of all certain, you know, walks of life. I need to see young black people. I need to see wealthy, older black people with the gray, you know, the salt and pepper vibe. And they're holding arm in arm and they got the pea coats, you know? If we're not in the right neighborhood, then tell me that. But if this is all we have to offer, then I'm concerned about my current status here. Because there's got to be middle-class black people. I'm really concerned in my locale. So were there middle-class black people in Salem? Yes, but they probably were all at work. Yeah, there was the guy in the tea shop. He was... not black, but he was a person of color. He was at work.
The guy that was doing white. The tarot readings?
He sold me these earrings.
He wasn't white?
No, that man wasn't white. He was something.
I thought he was like Eastern European.
What white? That's not white.
Russian and Ukrainian aren't white.
Oh, sorry. I don't know why I thought you meant like, I heard Eastern European, but my brain thought Middle Eastern.
Yeah. No.
Potentially.
I guess we're just going to have to go back to Salem and find out.
I guess he
could. That was a great coffee shop.
Don't smoke weed, kids. Oh, God.
What the fuck just happened?
Oh, God. Okay, here's what happened. I have this thing where I think my girlfriend's gonna sneak up on me. There's a bag, and there's very low light in my attic. There's a bag, and it has two, and it's a quilt in the bag. And there's holes in the quilt, and it looks like there are two little eyes. And I thought I saw a body.
I thought I was about to watch you get, like, slashed. I mean, I got high blood pressure. You can't do that to me.
I'm so sorry. This is really airing close to the Halloween, so that's kind of funny, but...
Okay, we have to get... We have to get back too. On track.
I'm just no, I know. High. Okay, let's go to the A plot. I'm just really well. Is high.
There? Let me look at my notes really quickly. I need to
open
quickly.
My eyes. I'm gonna open my eyes wider, and that might help. My eyes were open.
I do want to say that Emma is mean, cruel, and hateful, and that I was disappointed in Snake for not standing up to her because he's like one of two people in this town who can stand up to her, and Radich is gone. And then fled. Also I loved how she's like, so do you want to talk about it? And he's like, no, I'm good. Like, you didn't want to be part of this, Snake. Nobody was leaving you out. They were protecting you.
He said, I just wanted to be included, but I actually really didn't want to be included. I wanted to be consulted. I wanted to be notified that this thing was occurring, but I actually really didn't want to participate in any way because it sounds super uncomfy, okay?
Right.
Okay, thanks, bye. Yeah.
Thanks, bye.
He's like,
okay, so
absolutely not.
So on to the A plot.
Yeah. Here's something to rejoice about.
What?
Jesse and Ellie broke up. Huzzah.
But do they stay broken up? Because Jesse has not hooked up with one Caitlin Ryan yet.
I'm pretty sure there's a dip in something. Something happened. Like, I'm pretty sure we don't see it. Like, we don't see it. I'm pretty sure. God, do we see it? I don't think we do.
I don't know, but they're broken up for now, which is great.
And it's also, like, a very inconsequential breakup, though. It wasn't even a good breakup. It's just like we should just break up, right? Okay.
Fucking also, like, okay, so early on, like at the party, Dylan says something about how Paige is itching to redecorate his room.
Yeah, but why
is
would
that
he be
not
able to
Marco's room?
It is, because during their Thanksgiving, he has to go get chairs from my room.
Exactly.
So unless, because it wouldn't make sense that, because Kiko and Suki also live there. So do Kiko and Suki share a room? Is that rude just because they're Kiko and Suki? Or is it a four
bedroom? I mean, realistically, because they disappear, right?
They do disappear. And it's like, and they only replace them with one person. Because, spoiler alert, Griffin's bitch ass. They have like a part, I'm pretty sure they do mention when Kiko and Suki are gone.
and it's suddenly only Paige, Marco, Ellie, and Griffin living there. That's four people. So did Marco and Dylan each probably had a room when they moved in, and then moved in together to have the extra room be up for grabs? Because, I don't know, how does that make sense?
It doesn't. It doesn't make sense.
Another thing that is just left to be convenient for their plot devices, but that is a really good point. Why? How is Paige redecorating a room that Marco lives in?
Maybe because she's gonna help Marco redecorate the room now that he doesn't have Dylan's taste to contend with. That's the only thing I can think of.
Because I don't know why
I don't think that's it.
I don't think that's it too. I don't know why I'm skipping ahead to like the storyline where Griffin comes into it, because I'm pretty sure it's farther away than I think it is. But I know that when that happens, Paige is painting the room in the bottom of the apartment, like that's behind two like pull. So it's like, dude, they don't change apartments. Where the fuck is this room?
I think that it must just be one of those weird apartments that's like haunted and like the floor plan changes regularly. Kigo and Suki didn't actually move out. Their room just disappeared. Legend has it they're still trapped behind a wall.
Legend has it fucking indeed. Yeah, I was not sure about how much this was thought about, you know? How much did they really think about it?
Not much. They kind of never do. But anyway, I'm glad that Jesse and Ellie are fucking done, at least for a while. I'm also glad that Alex sees how lame Jesse is.
Well, Alex, I think... So the notion that Alex was encouraging Paige to have flings with guys because it was cash and she thought it was no big deal kind of stops being something that's legit when it's not just dude she doesn't know. When it's dude she's had a documented relationship with for years, and then a dude that she has had a flirtationship with and who's also her arch enemy's fucking ex-boyfriend.
Right. Newly ex-boyfriend.
The fucking dead carcass of their relationship is not even cold nor buried.
The vultures are like still circling. Like, they haven't gone in yet.
TOD was perhaps
just kidding, because Paige called. Is the vulture.
Paige is said vulture. She is circling. Yeah, it's like, if you're going to have a fling, and again, I don't think the show understands this. If you're going to have a fling, it tends to need to not be somebody you fucking know.
Right.
It should be somebody that you have no, you're not in the same social circle with. You don't want to mix business with pleasure. It's literally the first thing. I'm like, Paige, so you're meeting this guy and you're trying to get him to help you with the job you just got. Okay, that works out. And then you're going to start flirting with him and you think that's a good guy to be casual with?
Yeah, no, Paige is very dumb in this. Because I could see Paige being good at casual, but she's not doing... Well, and not only is Ellie her arch nemesis, but Ellie is about to be her roommate.
Yeah, that's super fucking messy.
And I just don't, like, it's uncharacteristically messy for Paige. And granted, like she just have a mentee bee.
She did, but, like, if you think about how many times she fucking broke up with Spinner and got back together with his ass or whatever, like, you can't, it's like when somebody forgets something at their house and they come back 2 minutes after they left, you cannot circle the block on somebody's relationship that they have not circled the block on, okay?
And, you know, I use circle, though, if you're not familiar with the term circle the block, that just means like I'm coming back because there's something that, like when you're circling the block for a parking spot, there's something here. I know it and I'm going to come back for it. No, I see something. There's something weird about that.
Yeah, no, the whole thing's weird. I hate the B plot. I hate the A plot. I do like the like Spinner Jesse fight, which I feel like we're going to cover a lot in Shots Fired.
Yeah, they're both the same font of guy. I think Jesse thinks he's way smarter than he is. Interesting, smarter, debonair. She literally says, what does she say? Does she say you dance like Antonio Banderas or Antonio Banderas, watch out? God, I remember something when Antonio like Banderas was relevant. Yeah, it's not a good compliment also to give someone because he doesn't dance well. He's not a good dancer. He's mediocre at best. Mid, as the kids would say. Very underwhelming.
Yeah, but she's only ever danced with Spinner and Alex.
Didn't she dance with Matt, too? Matt Greasyander. Greasy-ass-ander.
Oily-ander.
Greasy-ass-ander. I know he is Oily-ander. We couldn't put Greasy-ass-ander on a No, Oily-ander is the official name. I don't know. Speaking of Alex, she's dying in this episode. Do we think that Carla is actually around anymore? Does she say that Carla and like coming
she
episodes
said that broke up?
She did say that they broke up.
Mm-hmm, because she's in love with Paige, you idiot.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure she says, because I'm in love with you, you idiot.
She definitely says, because I'm in love with you, you idiot.
No, I just wanted to make sure you didn't think I was calling you an idiot.
I didn't. That wasn't even the right tone to call me an idiot. But yeah, I felt it all throughout. And I think it's just the lesbian lens, as Paige says. But I'm like, clearly she loves you. And the whole, well, don't look at me to rub them thing. Like, she's just trying to be like, hey, I'm establishing a boundary because what you love most of all is to kiss me when you think that I'm not available or something. She also, can we talk about the scene when she has her try on the pink sweatshirt and she's like feeling her up and she's like pretty in pink just like the movie and the way she's looking at her and everything.
Yeah, she's like, definitely throwing vibes.
Come on now, she's throwing all of the wrong vibes. Like look at that girl looking at you. She is in love with you. This shit is like written all over her face. And she does look really good in pink, by the way.
Look really good in that pink, but...
Yeah, it's a weird scene, because I'm like, obviously Paige is just all over the place in this episode, and she's not... Any of the signals that she's throwing, I don't really take... Like, she's just doing whatever right now. I think she's just trying to feel something. Also, the level of physicality that she... I don't know. I guess I haven't been single for a while, but the making out with multiple people thing, it probably is fun. I haven't done it in a while. But like, you're swapping spit with Spinner, and then you go swap spit with Jesse and other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Kissing two milquetoast men in a day is no grosser than kissing one. I don't really feel like you've already had somebody's gross tongue in your mouth. Like...
I just haven't kissed. I realize in all my adventures, I never really kissed the men. I prefer kissing women. The experience is a lot better. And, like, you don't get cut by beards, typically. Not in my experience, you know. We all have our chin hairs, but yeah. I realize I have a problem with dude kissing now. I realize I have a problem with that. That might be something to unpack. Well, I did want to say that I don't appreciate how Paige starts to say, "You know I love you, but I can't with you right now." That's what she started to say. And then her ass almost had another panic attack. And I'm not, and I say her ass to mean like, not, oh, like blaming her, but just being like, she is physically unable to say it to her. And I think it all stems from her, like, which we got into briefly about, like, there's one gay kid, I'm not gonna be the second gay kid. That's two out of two. My parents cannot have two gay kids.
They can. They'll deal.
They can. They certainly can. They will be fine. But that's what it's giving. It's like, yeah, I can't. I like, I love you. You know I love you, but I can't with you right now.
And I wonder if Mrs. Mikhailchuk has, like, said things to Paige about wishing Dylan wasn't gay.
Oh, that would really suck for Dylan. I'd actually feel bad for him.
It'd suck for Paige, too.
Well, yeah, that would suck for her to have to be an audience to. But then to hear that your mother was saying that behind your back to your sibling would also be extremely... Like,
this podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, "I found it on The Real Real." Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Yeah.
My entire identity is repulsive to my mother, and so much so that she has to go complain about it to my sister, who she thinks she has an audience with because she thinks she's the straight one.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucked up. But yeah, Dylan's moving. May or may not have a room after this week. We don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, he's
neither
just
do
gonna
this.
Sleep in the living room and, like, quote the Raven, nevermore.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the highlights here are the fact that Paige just has terrible taste in dudes. That's fine. She usually picks them under duress. Spinner is not cool. And he probably shouldn't act like he is. Jesse acts like he is, but he's not either. I don't know. That I feel most bad for Alex in this A-plot. And Paige just ends up kind of offending me multiple times throughout. Yeah. And so, yeah, that was that was a very anticlimactic ride.
Yes. So, yeah, do you want to move on to segments? I don't think I have anything else. Polyamory is fine, guys. Non-ethical monogamy is fine, guys. But everybody's got to be, like, on board. And and saying that you're on board when you're not on board is not cool.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe you don't know that you're not on board. But as soon as you know, you should say something.
You should. Communication is literally the hinge of non-ethical, of ethical non-monogamy.
Would you like to mosey on down to the corner then?
Yeah, let's go on down to the fashion corner. honestly, like I had mentioned, for me, it is Alex in her pink Sasquatch-designed hoodie. Although I must admit that the actual design on the hoodie is not really in a great place. It is literally on like the right pocket. It's a small ass pocket. The cut of the hoodie itself is really cute and of the time, but I think the logo should have been like on the breast pocket, like where a breast pocket would be if it was going to be a logo at all. And it's also tan, which is kind of an interesting choice for a pink hoodie. But yeah, I really liked her in it. And it looks plain if you're looking at it from like a specific angle. So,
okay. So starting out with the bad, I would like to draw attention to at the house party scene, Marco's wearing like an khaki booger green button up with like a plaid vest. Mm-hmm. That's like a loose vest. It's not a good look. Don't care khaki for it.
Booger green is funny.
And then Paige is wearing this little like cap sleeve Little House on the Fucking Prairie dress with a brown t-shirt or long sleeve shirt underneath. It's not good. I don't care for it.
For me, honestly, I feel like, I guess the ones that stood out weren't bad for me. The one Paige, Alpha Paige has on when she's making out with Spinner. I am just so fond of the era where we wore tights that weren't just black. They're like brown tights, and she has on, they're not pointy, they're rounded, but they have a straight heel boots. Very, very cute winter boots. And, like a flared out, like, I guess more like a ruffle skirt. And I think on top, she's got like a layered shirt and like a mini vest. It might be a mini vest, and then she pulls on a pea coat. She is rocking like that pea coat. Like,
did you notice that Emma is in the same color scheme in every outfit?
It's pink, maroon, and brown. Yeah, yeah.
It's specifically pink and maroon and brown, which I really like. Mm-hmm. The like mini skirt,
yes,
stripy mini sweater look.
Yes, that one's cute. And then she has like that dress.
The dress I didn't like.
I thought that was cute. I thought it was maybe like, I mean, I think I'm into like the mod 60s style, and that's exactly what it looked like to me. Just like very twiggy, very like long legs, you know, patchwork.
Like it was fine. It was giving for me this store that used to exist up here called Salam. Mm-hmm. It's not my favorite.
Yeah. No, I like that one. I did notice Manny's hair was curled, which is usually something she does not do. Mm-hmm. And it was very put together in a way that I guess that's why they don't curl her hair. Like, she looked very secretary-ish. Like, it was very cute. It was also something that they don't tend to curl her hair. Her hair just tends to be, her bangs are bumped and then the rest is straight. Mm-hmm. But it was cute on her.
Do you have any more fashion?
Ellie's wearing some flats that I would like her not to wear. I feel like they do her dirty with the wide shots when her and Jesse are breaking up. But yeah, other than that, yeah. I'm good.
In that case, then, we have a hun count of 5. And I don't have the context for any of them. I know that the first one is to Alex. She says, lose the lesbian filter, hun. He is cute and funny. She says to somebody, I don't know who, but she says, thanks, hun. You helped too. And then she says, sure, hun. Love to somebody. She says to Alex, hun, I forgot. I'm sorry. And she says to somebody else, or maybe also Alex, now is not such a great time, hon. Guys, we had to delay this recording several times, and I did not have time today to do a rewatch. I wrote my notes 2 weeks ago.
Well, that also could be just indicative of, like, the prep versus the actual recording. And the fact that I've been dipping and dodging for my life the last 2 weeks.
It's been a hard month, you guys. Like, we probably say that every month. It's fine, whatever.
You guys are like, what the fuck do you guys have going on? It's hard out here. I'm sure it's hard out here for you too, though.
My mom's in the hospital.
I'm sure it's hard out here for you guys too, though. I know when we do our shitty Saturdays, there's a number of things that come up, and I'm like, I am so sorry.
Way more activity than What's Good Wednesdays.
Yeah, What's Good Wednesdays have been a little light as of recently. I haven't had too many contributions. So, but Shitty Saturday is definitely something that I love that our community does, but it is that y'all be going through it. I'm so sorry. There's a number of our community members. I wish that I could pull up our posts, and I'm also not going to air you out like that. But another friendly reminder, if you have not already, please join us over on Facebook. We have a community of almost 500 members and growing every day.
We love fun. We do caption contests peoples. And yes, all the good stuff.
We do caption contests. We just gave away 5 free Patreon subscriptions, which I have to enter into our system. I got to do that at some point. I think I was going to do it
if you at send the start me the email the addresses, I can do it.
I love you.
All right. On that note, let's fire some shots. Pew, 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 pew.
Shots fired.
Yeah, I will go first. It's at the very top. It's Dylan saying, hang on. No, it's Paige, and then Dylan responds to her. Hang on. God. How many things? There are many. First one, Paige saying, only the best for my darling bro on the occasion he is moving to Sweden. Dylan responds, your brain is clearly already redecorating my bedroom. It's Switzerland, Paige, as in shirk.
My first one is when Alex sees that Paige is going out with Spinner and is like, Spinner? Cute? Funny? Worldly?
Yes. I have, just before that, I have Alex says, sounds delish in a hetero kind of way.
I have, Emma saying, you contribute delicious, nutritious dinners nightly.
That was cute. I meant to say that in a deep dive. I have, Spinner saying, gotta go see the other guy, Jesse's stupid face.
I have Emma saying, stepdaughter.
Lord. I have Paige saying, Spin, don't trust your feelings, okay? Feelings are the enemy.
I have Spin saying, so you pick stupid Jesse with his stupid hair and his stupid shirts and his stupid face?
I have Alex saying, ugh. Rush into stuff much? You're pathetic, Paige. Pathetic.
I have Spinner saying to Jesse, yeah, go drink a latte, emo boy.
I actually, before that, have Snake saying, okay, thanks, Liberty, after her presentation.
I have Jesse, in response to Spinner calling him a loser, going, oh, I'm a loser? Okay, Spinner.
Yeah. I have Paige to Spinner right before the fight. And now I'm itchy. Don't make me choose. You won't like my choice. This is brutal.
I have, after Jesse makes fun of Spinner for being named Spinner, Spinner says, you'll be cursing my name when it kicks your ass.
Oh my gosh. This fight was so dumb. Do you have the rest of the fight? Because then I feel like Alex ends it just saying...
the last line of the fight is Spinner saying, whatever, you suck.
Yeah, what? Right. Can you be mature about this?
He's it like, is like the yeah, weakest Degrassi no. fight.
Whatever, you suck. Alex, I have the last one I have is Alex saying, I say they both suck. And for that matter, so do you.
I have two more. I have fucking Paige saying, oh, your apology is killing me with its plaintive sincerity. To yeah. which Alex says, God, I hate your thesaurus.
Mm-hmm. That was cute. She doesn't actually hate her thesaurus. Not even a little bit.
Not she loves it. Okay, Kat.
Well, yeah, well, that's you. That is like right. that. The way that shook me the first time I saw.
It. Oh
like,
my god! It's so seriously,
it's so fucking profound. It's like what I hate most of all is I don't even hate you, not even a little bit, not even at all. Yeah. Well.
Okay.
Okay. So there's a thing that we've got to talk about, and it's all of the people that sucked in this episode.
Yeah, so who bums super you bummers. Out?
Emma.
Snake.
Snake, yeah. Spike. With her fucking out-of-touch ass.
Spinner, fucking Paige, fucking Jesse.
Yeah.
Fucking Ellie.
Yeah.
Marco.
Honestly, Marco, and still Dylan for not telling his boyfriend that he was being recruited actively by a fucking Switzerland hockey team. Fuck him.
Yeah.
So who shines?
Shines.
Shine. No. Just believe.
Okay, a bitch has earbuds in. That is not okay.
I had to do it in the key of Jenna. I'm so sorry.
You didn't have to do it
I
at all.
I felt it on my spirit.
I get
I
that.
I rarely feel
okay,
it on my spirit.
But nobody shines.
No. I feel like Alex is potentially doing the good work, but I don't.
Everybody sucks like, I, or just like, doesn't I won't allow even register.
It. She doesn't go on the... She doesn't go on the super bummer list for me. She's
yeah,
just
she's
not a, shining
a super
star.
Bummer, but she's not shining. Nobody shines. That's how dark it is.
Does it go there?
Does it go there?
It does not. It does not. For one, we have a whack ass fight between two objectively lame ass dudes. And it's not even a real fight. So.
No, it sucks. This episode is meh.
Yeah. And this episode is also going to be about 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 hour, and like 5 minutes, because we've got to cut out like 7 minutes of me forgetting how to properly pronounce
say hello.
Hi. Hello. How are you?
Which
it's
you
been
can
a couple
hear
of weeks.
Over on the Patreon. All right. Yes. On that note, I would just like to say thanks for listening to your mom's podcast. Next week, we'll be talking about Marco's gambling problem in Sunglasses at Night. This episode of Your Mom's Podcast was made possible in part by Squatchware, Durex Scentsy Thins, and support from listeners like you.
Alrighty.
Bam. We'd like to take a moment to thank our Patreon subscribers, Tay,
Lucy,
Iggy,
Evie,
Miranda,
and an extra special thanks to our Titty Snake producers, Tawny,
the Degrassi Generations Facebook group,
Corey,
Chelsea,
Brandy,
and Alika.
Thank you guys. We love you.
Thank you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Podcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPadcast. Your Mom's Podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon, and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-mom's-podcast.com. podcast.shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast. PAHDCAST. Thank you.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.